everybody. Welcome to the Shit Show with Jaybo. How the hell are you all? Hello, 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 hello to each and every one of you, and thank you for tuning in wherever you are, whenever this is. Isn't that a wonderful thing about podcasting? That we don't have to adhere to a schedule or the internet in general. It's really freed people up. And maybe it's not that we're bringing in to our minds so much entertainment that, you know, more so than ever before. Maybe we are. Maybe we're on our phones all day, and maybe it's the same as watching TV all fucking day. It's just catered to you. Or maybe we just find the time because we can do it whenever the hell we see fit. You know what I mean? Like, back in the day, if you wanted to watch, you know, Dallas, and you worked till 9:30 or 10, and Dallas was on at 8, and it was an hour long, you could never watch Dallas, so you might just go to sleep, or you might just fuck around. Now, we just squeeze that entertainment in every little nook and cranny. We squeeze it in a red light. We squeeze it in at work. We squeeze it in on the toilet. We squeeze it in at every single moment. I realized today that if my phone's not charged, I'm antsy. And I get this horrible feeling sometimes when I think about how much time's been wasted on my phone. I've literally wasted probably 5 years of my life time-wise. I mean, maybe not that long. But certainly, if endless entertainment wasn't in my life for the past 10, 15 years, and I did something else with that, oh my God, what could I have done? What could you have done? What could we have done? They say religion is the opiate of the masses, then TV is the opiate of the masses, then pornography and the internet. No, it's the whole kit and caboodle, the whole ball of wax. It's all just fucking mind control. We need to be revolutionaries. We need to do things with our time. We need to think about things. The most successful people I know are not stuck on Facebook all fucking day. So let's make a vow right here and right now that we will get off Facebook. They're mind control bullshit censorship anyway. Twitter's okay. I think Twitter's all right because I don't spend much time on Twitter. It's very quick. It's a great news source. And a lot of people don't want to get on Twitter because they're like, oh, well, I have nothing to say. I'm not Kim Kardashian. I'm not a 12-year-old girl listening to Kim Kardashian. It's not about that. I've never had very many followers, but it's fun, and you always get the news first. If you're on Twitter, news pours in from around the globe. And news, you know, is that entertainment? Is that better for you than, like, say, watching an interview from Tupac Shakur, which I just watched? Or actually, that was very educational, I thought. But sometimes I find myself tuning into really ridiculous things that it's just easy paths that have been worn in my brain. You know, Henry Rollins would talk about, he listens to like X amount of music per week of new music, like new music that he doesn't know. And then he'll allow himself like an hour or two of music that he's heard before. The guy's fucking insanely cool, insanely hardworking, has this crazy work ethic. Anyway, welcome to the Shit Show with Jaybo. Let me give you guys my theme song real quick. Here we go. Welcome to the Shit Show, baby. Welcome to the Shit Show, baby. Welcome to the Shit Show. Okay, there it was. The theme song to the Shit Show with Jaybo. You know, that theme song is pure inspired music. It's purely inspired. I don't know how to say it. I came up with it as it came out of my mouth. It came into my brain. It came from the infinite into my brain and out of my mouth the very first time that I ever said it. There was no rehearsal. I was at my show in Hollow Earth Radio. This is how my theme song came about. I was at Hollow Earth Radio and I had a tambourine. And I literally said, okay, I'm going to come up with a theme song. And I hit fucking play, or I hit record, or I hit broadcast. I hit broadcast is actually what I hit. And I just came up with, it was just a tambourine. There was no nice bass, nice little funky fucking bluegrassy bass line and a little dark bluesy country guitar part. And no Black Keys-esque style vocals, although they got their vocals from somewhere else, no doubt, in the particular style I'm talking about. There was none of that. It was just me and a tambourine, and I came out and I was like, welcome to shit show, baby. Welcome to shit show, baby. Welcome to shit show. I know you feel it, home. I don't know if I came up with We Got a Lock on the All Things Magic. We Got a Lock on the All Things Tragic. We Got a Lock on the whole thing. I think that may have came later, but the very inspiration. I mean, I just love it. I love it when shit like that happens. I know it's tiny. I know it's just the theme song to my fucking little podcast here, but I love moments like that. I love pure, inspiring, inspirational moments that are so strong that they not only make it into the air, but onto the recording device. And then they're strong enough to make it off that recording device into the world. And then maybe they're strong enough after they make it into the world for somebody to sing that song back to you. You know what I mean? It's a very, very cool thing. I'm just like kind of obsessed with music. I always have been. I know way more about music than most people, except for a lot of people in Seattle were very knowledgeable. There were people that would put me to shame. But generally speaking, like in most parts of the country, when I talk about music, I usually just annoy the fuck out of people because I just get into minute details and people's eyes, you know, they don't really glaze over, but you know, that's the vibe. They don't know. They think I'm fucking crazy, or they just walk off or whatever. But the reason why I bring that up about music is, I don't know, I've always tried to write songs. I've always appreciated the art form and appreciated the bubbling inertia that comes from the gut, when you're listening to music, good pop music, good fucking music that just is very exhilarating, and it kind of just bursts out through your fucking face. And it's just a really amazing feeling what music can do. And I love all other art forms, you know. I love painting, I love movies, but none of it to me gives people that same reaction. You know what I mean? It's crazy that people even are able to make music and that other people react like they do. It's really crazy. It's just the vibrations. And it's the human heartbeat. Did you ever notice that when you hear that drum beat, the rock and roll drum beat, that so many songs start out with a boom ka boom boom ka boom boom ka boom boom ka. Did you notice that that's the heartbeat? It actually boom boom ka boom boom ka boom boom ka. And when I hear that, I immediately, no matter what song it is, I just get my head going like, fuck yeah, man, fuck yeah. And it's because it's the human heartbeat. The heart of rock and roll is still beating. And from what I said, I believe him. Whatever, Huey Lewis. That slice of yacht rock cheese. I'm ripping off right there when I say a slice of cheese, a slice of yacht rock, literate, white, saxophone-laden cheese. I'm ripping off a dude in a podcast called Disgraceland. If you guys like this podcast, you'd probably like Disgraceland. He does a really cool podcast, and he's always... It's like he can't afford to buy songs of the era, so he plays cheesy samples on his fucking synthesizer and talks about them being cheese and whatever, but it's a podcast worth checking out. So that's the J-Bo's recommendation. Now, J-Bo's musical recommendation is a gentleman that you guys have probably heard me talk about before. Those of you who've listened a few times probably have, because I wouldn't say I'm obsessed with the guy, but I would kind of like to get obsessed with his music because it's like, it's a new thing for me, you know? I always love it if I can kind of try a new flavor and kind of get obsessed a little bit and kind of get really passionate about some new music because, man, as much as I love going over those worn pathways in my brain, you know, like today I was listening to Stone Temple Pilots. You guys all know that I've experienced a little renaissance with that band in the last few months. It's great. It's just not challenging. And as Henry Rollins would say, Henry Rollins would probably love this guy I'm about to tell you about. And Henry Rollins, who gives a shit, right? Kill your idols. Henry's a badass dude, but really, I'm just emphasizing, try some new music. Try something you don't quite love, but it's interesting to you, and it's like you're taking a bite off, and you're slowly trying to fucking chew it, you know, and you're slowly trying to swallow it, and then it's a little bit, you know, it doesn't go down like Cheese Whiz or like cotton candy. It goes down more like, I don't know, a rock, you know, a rock that's edible, maybe a biscuit that's been around for 100 years. I once ate a biscuit that I believe had been around for 100 years, possibly. At least that was my understanding when I was a kid. I went to some fort in St. Augustine, and they said this is what the soldiers used to eat, and they handed me a biscuit and I ate it. And I also ate another time I ate a biscuit off the highway with grape jelly. I was in the Boy Scouts and I was so fucking hungry. I don't know if my mom's boyfriend, who was playing the father, if he was like being neglectful and he didn't feed me, but I literally was so hungry, and I was just walking along the highway and I looked down, there was a fucking biscuit. A biscuit along some, not a highway, but like a back, you know, a state road. It was a biscuit with grape jelly and a fucking tire mark over the top of it. Biscuit on the side of the road, grape jelly, and a tire mark. I picked it up. I don't even think I brushed it off. I just go, I love biscuits. That grape jelly looks good. I'm going to eat this motherfucker. And I did. I ate the biscuit. And, biscuits. Do you folks like biscuits? I mean, biscuits aren't great for you, but, oh, man. They're great for your soul. You know, they're great for your happiness quotient, which means a lot. They're just not great for, you know, your body if you're eating a whole bunch of biscuits. There was this place in Seattle called the Biscuit Bitch, which I loved. I would get a biscuit, and I would get a piece of Spam on that motherfucker. And then I'd get an egg on it, and I'd put some hot sauce, and there was some cheese on it. Out of this world. Out of this motherfucking world. I'm not a vegetarian anymore. Sorry, Jamie. I am half vegetarian. I appreciate and I promote the vegetarian lifestyle, but I'm too far. I'm just too lazy. I can make excuses. Really, I'm just fucking lazy. Anyway, backtracking, moving forward. The artist I wanted to tell you about that I recently saw. I saw on Thursday night. His name is, drumroll, Billy Strings. Billy Strings has caught my imagination, and I'm not the only one. There's definitely something happening with that guy. I've been hearing about Billy Strings for about a year and a half. I did not see him last year at Del Fest. So let me tell you guys a little bit about Del Fest. So, first of all, I lived in Seattle for 20 years, and Seattle is like, it's punk rock. Everybody wears black. Everybody's fairly dark. Everybody drinks a lot of coffee. It rains all the time. Like, but punk rock, like kind of dark punk rock. The bands that sum up the Northwest are like, well, Nirvana, that's pretty fucking dark. Shit like, I don't know, Mother Love Bone, pretty dark. Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, both dark. The Wipers, I know I said punk. Now, those bands are more like influenced between punk and 70s music, but I'd say the punk band that sums up the Northwest completely would be like The Wipers or Dead Moon, right? They're from Portland, but still. The point is, I got used to that kind of music, and the thought of like, I kind of thought the Grateful Dead was cool, but jam bands and bluegrass, I wasn't really into it, you know? then I moved over here and I legitimately got kind of inspired with bluegrass. One time I went down to Bristol. It's like on the Virginia and Tennessee border, I believe. And it's the home of country music. It's where the, like, Appalachian, like, country music started. Not country music as we think of, but just like early shit. I don't know, 100 years ago maybe. A guy came to Bristol with a tape recorder and all these hillbillies playing this Appalachian music, this beautiful, crazy, hick mountain music, very much American, came to this area and recorded with this guy. You know, it's kind of, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, the movie. They have a scene that's kind of similar to that, where people come around just to record. But anyway, it created this explosion of country music, which mountain music, Appalachian music, you know, you'd think of Deliverance, you'd think of that, but it's really brilliant. It's brilliant music, and these people can play. The songs are a little bit simple, but it's all about the feel, right? The lyrics tell a great story. There's great melodies. The chords are simple, right? But it's a little bit like the blues in the respect that, I don't know, maybe Appalachian music, country music, is the white person's version of the blues, which came from, like, black churches and gospel and Lead Belly and Robert Johnson and all that. I don't know. But the point is, Del Fest is here in Cumberland, Maryland, and it's a celebration of that type of music mostly. It's, I don't know, there's jam bands involved, I guess, but to me, it's more of a bluegrass Appalachian folk tradition that's being broadcast here at Del Fest every year. I went last year, had a good time. Del Fest is named after Del McCoury. Del McCoury is some kind of country music star, bluegrass guy, and he puts on a festival here every year, but it attracts a certain type of band and a certain type of, you know, mostly it's like Grateful Dead heads, and it's people are into like String Cheese Incident, and but anyway, Billy Strings is kind of like in that vein. Billy Strings reminds me of like a young, I don't fucking know, man, like a young Dave Matthews. Not really, he doesn't really, but I feel like he has that kind of appeal. Like, he could be the crossover guy. Like, Dave Matthews was this young jam guy who could write a pop song. Now, Billy Strings is a much better guitarist than Dave Matthews. He's an unbelievable guitarist. You know, I don't know. So many people play okay. They play chords and they play leads. This guy plays an acoustic guitar. It's a very simple setup. He plays an acoustic with his band. The band is like violin, stand-up bass, and banjo, and maybe another guitar, but it's just effortless. Apparently, this guy's a prodigy. He's been playing since he was like 3 years old, and if you look him up on the internet, Billy Strings, there's all these pictures of him like nobody playing in, you know, wherever he's from, Mississippi, somewhere in the South, but they always talk about how he's like almost supernatural the way he plays. And to put it to you this way, I play guitar okay. I've always been a strummer and a hummer, man. Like, kind of like, you know, a Tom Petty or a John Lennon style. Like, that's who I model myself after, those type of dudes. But occasionally I do air guitar. We all do air guitar, right? I can't even air guitar as fast as Billy Strings actually plays. Like, I can literally sit there and air guitar and, like, flail my left hand and twiddly D my right hand, like I have a pick in it. I can barely keep up with him just playing in the air, not even playing notes. I mean, the dude is an unbelievable guitarist, and the songs tell a great story. The chord progressions are chord progressions in bluegrass are, I don't know that much about it. They seem to be fairly simple, at least the stuff he plays. It's fairly simple from a songwriter's perspective. But like I said, it's about the feel. And this dude kills it, and people loved it. And I saw him Thursday night. And he came out. I saw him at Del Fest. They did like a late night, midnight set. They started at midnight, and they literally ended it at close to 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, I stayed till about 3. But people were totally vibing on it. The energy was insane. The energy was right up there with like, not quite what Tame Impala was I saw a few weeks ago. Because everybody was there to see him. I mean, Del Fest, people were there to see Billy Strings, but uh, you know, people also probably filtered in just because they were on drugs, they needed something to do. But the kid is, he's got something, and he looks cool. He's like a hipster-looking dude, like a good-looking young guy. He's 25 years old, and he's starting to do these amazing shows, and people are really starting to talk about it, at least the jam band websites that I've stumbled upon. So I guess I'm a fucking bluegrass jam band, jamgrass fan now a little bit, which is good, right? Because when I'm 80, I want to be discovering new music. I don't want to be treading on those well-worn pathways in my brain like we talk about a few times during this podcast. And at one point, Billy Strings will be that guy. He'll be a well-worn pathway in my brain, and I'll be like, yeah, Billy's really good, but I'm on to this other thing. But right now, he's interesting me. I find myself thinking about his music. I find myself like writing songs that are like, hey, man, Billy Strings just uses three chords. Let me try these three fucking chords, G, D, and C. And, you know, I do my impersonation of that, and it's fun. What about you guys? Do you, is anybody out there listening to anything cool that interests them? Are you guys interested in something that interests you? Or does music kind of play a little bit of a background, backseat style? I'm not a musical background, backseat style type of dude. I don't listen to music in my car. I don't just put it on while people are talking at a low volume and go, oh, that's pretty cool. But yeah, man, we had music. Music was playing. I love music. Music was just playing in the background. Yeah, I'm not that dude. I turn it up. Either I don't want to listen to it, or I turn it up and attempt to digest it or scream along. And generally people tell me to turn it down if they know me well enough and are comfortable. Or they probably just sit there and think, this is fucking bizarre. If you're driving around with me listening to music. And I'm being particularly bold that day. You know, I'm not always rude or anything, but do you guys do that? You know, when I go to a show, it's almost, I actually prefer to go to shows alone because I'm there to see the show. I'm not there to socialize. I love my girlfriend. However, you know, watching a show and holding your girlfriend in front of you and swaying back and forth, that's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool if she's shorter than you, she's taller than you, maybe she holds you and sways back and forth, which is kind of awkward. But yeah, so anyway, I'm a little bit of an obsessive, and my latest obsession, Billy Strings. It reminds me of when I got into Ariel Pink about 5 or 6 years ago. No, actually more like, I don't know. I saw Ariel Pink in like, I think 2012. Like 7, 8 years ago. But there was something that piqued my interest. And like, I knew one song, but I was almost like, wow, this guy's fucking too weird to like, to really get into. It's like a lot of work, you know, this shit's challenging. But before you know it, you just bite off a little bit here, bite off. It's like eating a popsicle. And before you know it, you've got control of that popsicle and you've eaten the whole motherfucking thing. And you're like, where's more? Oh, there isn't any more. We got to wait 2 years for dude to put out a record. It's like binging a fucking Game of Thrones or something like that. Anyway, how the hell are you, everybody? This is the Shit Show with J-Bo. Last week, did you guys like last week's episode? We talked with Mike and, or sorry, what was it? Hermes and Goat, halfway through the Appalachian Trail. Really proud of those guys. I wonder if they're listening today. Hey, I'm giving you guys a ton of energy. At least that's what I'm saying. I hope you feel it. I hope you, go, motherfuckers, go. This is great. You guys are like, what, almost through Pennsylvania? And then you got some big-ass hills in New Hampshire, which I hear are really hard. And before you know it, a month will pass by, and you'll be 2 weeks away from the end of the fucking trail. So, Mike, Colin, a.k.a. Hermes and Goat, please keep going. So, I went to Pittsburgh on, when was it? Saturday? Yeah, I went Saturday. Have you guys been to Pittsburgh? Anybody been to Pittsburgh out there? It's a really nice city. And it's starting to get some cool culture. I really am looking forward to going back and really trying to exhaust some of the really just the little food places. I saw some Vietnamese food, which I fucking love. So, you know, pho. When you see the pho, it's not pho. It's pho. It's pho. It's actually pho. And you know somebody's lived in Seattle too long when they correct you and they say it's pho, not pho. pho-ba, which is beef noodle soup. Ba is beef. Pho is soup, I believe. I want to go back to Pittsburgh. I hung out with my buddy Tim. He's a pilot. He's doing well for himself. I went to high school with him. He flies for American Airlines. It seems like a pretty cool gig, although it seems like it's kind of fucked up his marriage, him being gone all the time. That's a little sad. I'm gone all the time. I hope it doesn't fuck up my relationship, but if it does, okay, I have to accept that. When I was gone, speaking of fucking up relationships being gone, when I was gone with my buddy Tim, at some point my girlfriend lost her mind and started texting me horrible things. We're over. Fuck you. You just leave whenever you want. I'm sick of this. Don't try to call me. I won't be here when you get back. I hope I'm pregnant because I'm going to murder our child. Actually, she didn't say that, but she said something like that when I went to kiss. So she has some pretty serious abandonment issues. I love her. And when I come back, it's all good. Like, it's fine. She's all... at some point, she gets lovey-dovey again. But it takes a while for me to just let her know that I'm here. It's okay. Like, I didn't go up there and fuck any hookers or go pull some, you know, some hot, trendy chick from some restaurant and bang her in the bathroom. That's not my style, sweetie. I almost wish it was my style, but it's not my style. Even if I wanted to, I don't know that I could pull it off. Maybe on the best day, you know what I mean, with a certain type of woman, but I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. You have to know that. And once I let her know that it's all good, and she usually settles down, but it gets emotional. You know, I ended up throwing a pillow at her at some point because she was taking logic and, like, flipping it on its head. It's a long-ass story, and you guys have heard these stories about my girlfriend, but at some point, I was trying to sleep. Like, I got home after her saying, you know, you're never here on your days off, because I work out of town. You're never here on your days off. I said, well, when I came home at 7:30 at night, you aren't even here. And now you're back in my room at 11 when I'm trying to go to sleep because I'm up at 4:30 or 5:30 at the latest. And I don't even know. At some point, I just got so sick of it. I just threw a fucking pillow kind of at her, you know. And I probably fucked up my shoulder because I've got a torn rotator cuff. And I said, if that's how you feel, get the fuck out of the house. You know, and I kind of like, she kind of ran and I kind of was running after her. It wasn't scary or anything like that. She just, like, pushed me to my limit where I had to, like, do something. I couldn't just lay there and take it. My brain just reacted, you know. And honestly, that's probably what she wanted. And she wasn't serious about leaving the house either, I don't think. Because as soon as I said, well, get the fuck out then if that's how you feel. If I'm such a whatever. She didn't turn towards the door as she was running. She turned towards the kitchen. And I knew at that point, she's still mine. My girl's still mine. Hell yeah. She still likes me. She wants to stay here. So yeah, that was dramatic. That was really fucking dramatic. I would love to hear any of you guys' stories about, you know, crazy girlfriends or concerts you've seen or what I should listen to. So I would love it if somebody, a few of you guys out there, tweeted me at shitshowjabo. That'd be fucking rad. I'd love that. Let me know what you think. Give me your suggestions. And the offer is always on this table. If you want to sit here and, like, talk for 30 minutes into a microphone or into your phone and send it to me, I want to see what you got. It's a weird fucking muscle to exercise. You know what I mean? So, I went to the Andy Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh. And it's about my third time going. And I went with my buddy Tim, who had never heard of Andy Warhol. And I didn't really know how to describe Andy Warhol to him. Because he kept going like, so what, he designed the Campbell's soup cans? I said, well, no. But he thought they were beautiful and reproduced them as pop art. And it was some kind of comment on society. And later he did the same thing with, like, Elvis, which is a comment on celebrity. Or maybe it wasn't. Or maybe he knew if he was vague enough, people would look into it. But he managed the Velvet Underground. You heard of them, Tim? No, haven't heard of them. Oh, well, that's Lou Reed. Was it John Cale? Was he another one? Or am I getting that wrong? Anyway, Nico, beautiful German girl. At some point I go, yeah, Tim, there you go. That's Nico. She was in the Velvet Underground too. You should check out that band. Not that he's going to. And I don't think he would latch on to it. You have to be really trying to think they're cool to get into the Velvet Underground. Or have been there when they came out and been in the scene. You know what I mean? It's a little bit of an acquired deal. I love the Velvet Underground. And they're really big in Pittsburgh still because the Andy Warhol Museum is there. Because Andy Warhol is actually from Pittsburgh, and that's why the museum's there. And, you know, I was over the Velvet Underground like 15, 20 years ago, but I came to Pittsburgh, and everybody's like carrying around vinyl of the Velvet Underground and carrying, you know, and playing Heroin or Here She Comes, you know. Here she comes. She's gonna watch your step. How does this go? She's going to play you for a fool. Cause everybody knows she's a femme fatale. The thing she does to please, she's a femme fatale. She's just a little tease, femme fatale. See the way she walks. Hear the way she talks. Cause everybody knows. Anyway, that's Nico singing that. It's Femme Fatale. Great song. R.E.M. covered it. I think I got introduced probably by R.E.M. Michael Stipe was a massive Andy Warhol fan. He dressed like him. He looked kind of like him with the striped shirts and shit. And the glasses and the fucking dorky schoolboy haircut at times. But then my buddy Aaron Krantz turned me on properly to them, and we had like a Velvet Underground compilation. And the song Heroin is unbelievable. It's like two chords, but you listen to it, and it's so fucking intense, you know? Anyway, I had to tell Tim that that's Nico on the screen, and she killed herself. Why'd she kill herself? I don't fucking know. She was crying, you know, she's crying in this thing, watching some other dude kind of like undress himself or talk, and she's crying. It's a split screen, and it's all very confusing, but very cool. Andy Warhol was an amazing artist, and we're all happy. We're all glad that he influenced the world in a way that he did, and the Velvet Underground is so cool, and Lou Reed. I'm not crazy about his solo stuff, although, what's his record, Transistor? Oh, he's got this one song on there, and I can think of it, but not right this second, but it's got a crazy saxophone. And it's just so fucking weird. Is it Transistor? Is that Lou Reed's record? Let me see here. Lou Reed. Transistor. Let's see. Lou Reed. Is it? No. What the fuck is it called? Lou Reed discography. It's not Revolver, that's the Beatles. It's not Reflector, that's Arcade Fire. And all. And by the way, I had that same idea for a record titled, what the fuck? Oh, it's Transformer. That's it, it's Transformer. Transformer track listing. And let's see what the song. Check out this song, guys. This is my recommended song for the day. Transformer track listing. What did I call it? Transistor or something? The song I'm referring to. See, guys, I don't very often just search the internet while we're talking, but I'm feeling really comfortable today. Really comfortable today. And the record I'm thinking of is, the song I'm thinking of is Makeup. Go check out that song, Makeup. It's a great fucking song. Satellite of Love, Perfect Day. That was on the Trainspotting soundtrack. What a wonderful album that is. So thank you, Andy Warhol, for giving Lou Reed the start to his career and so many hours of beautiful music from the Velvet Underground and the spinoffs. Listen, so that's it, guys. I want to thank you so much for listening. This is The Shit Show with J-Bo. I wanted to get into my dad in the hospital and the fact that it's just inhumane to me, and it's killing inhumane to me, and it's killing my soul. And he calls me every day, and today he said he was, like, watching for me to come get him. And, like, I'm not coming to get him, and it's just so fucked up that I can't even talk about it right now. And you guys don't want to hear about it, but at some point, maybe I'll get into it. It's really tough. If you guys have any advice on family members that kind of can't really function and you had to put him somewhere, and, you know, I'm doing the best I can to help him out and to be there for him and take him out and stuff, but the fact is he's in fucking prison and he has not done a crime. You know what I mean? He's done his time. Anyway, this is The Shit Show with J-Bo. We'll get into that next week, possibly. I just can't bring myself to talk about it right now any more than I already have. So check out Lou Reed, the album Transformer. Please check out Billy Strings. The record I would recommend is called Tinfoil and Turmoil. And then he has an EP before that. And the songs in particular, the first song, you know, go ahead and Google right now. YouTube. Fuck Google, but it's really bang, bang it. Bang, man. Bang, bang, bang. Go ahead and check out the song Dust in a Baggie. It's a great song, and it's only like 4 or 5 minutes long. After that, check out Take Me to the Creek. And after that, I think there's a song called On the Line. He has an EP, just Billy Strings EP, then Tinfoil and Turmoil. The kid is unbelievable. He deserves your respect. He deserves a listen. This is The Shit Show with J-Bo. I hope you guys got something out of this podcast. I sure did. We will see you next week. And thank you so much for listening. And we shall talk soon. Have a beautiful week. Bye.